Hello and welcome to the Bailey and Harding Ultra Sound System. I'm Anna Harding.
I'm Ali Bailey. And you're listening to episode 47, The Debrief. Do we say that now?
Don't know. It sounds quite serious though, doesn't it? That's because it is serious, Ali.
It's a serious business.
Serious stuff. Hey, you rock star. You did a pretty gnarly little trot over the Lake District at the weekend, didn't you?
I did, yes. I did. I did a race. A race.
Did a race. You did a race.
Feel a bit discombobulated, listener. Sorry about that. It was a, yeah, it was, so at the weekend, just gone, I did the Lakes Traverse, which is a traverse of the Lake District. It runs from St. Bees, which is on the northwest coast.
Yeah.
To Shap, which is not on the coast. It is at the end of the Lake District, or the East End, EastEnders. If EastEnders was filmed in the Lake District, it'd be filmed in Shap. Oh, and it was windy. Windy old day, wasn't it?
My goodness. So I've been away. I've been in another country, but all I heard about whilst I was in the other country was Kathleen. Is that a song by Catfish and the Bottlemen?
Don't know. Let's check. Does anyone want to find out?
Google.
I mean, Catfish and the Bottlemen. Fucking remember them.
I love Catfish and the Bottlemen.
Didn't they get Me Too'd? Yeah, I think for something that happened at a gig. There was a little bit of naughtiness. Everybody has now. Arcade Fire have. It's quite upsetting. Kathleen. Yes. There is a Catfish and the Bottlemen song called Kathleen.
Yeah, there's also a named storm called Kathleen, which you ran through. So, yeah, all I heard about while I was away was, oh, Kathleen's coming. Because I had some clients that were doing some races at the weekend as well. One of them did the Vale of Glamorgan Ultra.
Oh, yeah. Is it Vale of Glamorgan in Wales?
Yes, yeah. It is indeed. Not far from Cardiff, I would imagine. I'm basing that based on where my client was staying the night before. That one is a 32.5 mile linear route along the entire coast of the Vale of Glamorgan, in fact. And got a little photo from him of all of the mud. It was like porridge. We'll come on to your porridge mud in a bit. So he was worried about the weather. Then I had another client who was doing the same race as you.
Who won the same race as me.
He was also quite worried that she might get blown away. And then Paris Marathon, where it was actually really hot. Brilliant.
Was it?
And no wind. Yeah. Yeah, they didn't have Storm Kathleen. So yeah, for anyone who ran in Storm Kathleen at the weekend, well done you, because Ali, your conditions looked pretty awful.
Don't say it. Don't say the B word.
Brew, 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 brew.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
Brutal. When I checked in on the tracker at one point, it was like, the runners and riders are being diverted because they can't go up Kidsley Pike because it's too fucking dangerous.
Yeah, that was joy. Thank God for that. It was actually okay. So to be honest, there was a lot the day before. So it's a northern traverse, which is from Shap to Robin Hood's Bay. That's 200 miles, and that's the same day. So
300 kilometers.
Yeah. So you've got the Northern Traverse, and then you've got the Lakes Traverse, which is 100K. And then there's two new ones, the Dales Traverse and the Moors Traverse, which I think are like 50K and 25K. But don't quote me on that. Look on the website. They're new. Yeah. They're little ones, right? Yeah. Because obviously you're going through three national parks if you're on the Northern Traverse. You're going through the Lake District, you're going through the Yorkshire Dales, and you're going through the North York Moors, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't doing that. I might do it next year, though. I don't know why I'm saying this. Why am I saying this out loud? Anyway. So the weather forecast had been not great, but I'm not a fan of catastrophizing weather forecasts until the day before, especially in like national parks like the Lake District or the Brecon Beacons, because they can change like at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
I said that my bag weighed 8 kilograms because it had all of my winter kit in it, and they changed the mandatory kit to winter hill kit the day before. So they were like, you have to take this extra kit now, you know, like waterproof gloves, extra leggings, all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
And it was really heavy. And I hadn't Yeah.
Just to point out, we mentioned this previously, but your bag was so heavy with so much kit because you don't get a drop bag on this race for
No drop
100
bag.
kilometers. No drop bag.
No drop bag. And you get, you do if you're on the 200 miler, but obviously I wasn't.
Yeah.
You get, you get aid stations. You get aid station. The thing is, the first aid station is not till 30 miles in. So you're halfway before you hit the first aid station. There is a water station before
Wow.
that, but it doesn't really count because it's nothing.
No.
So the first aid station with food is 30 miles in. It's quite a fucking long way in the Lake District. And then
Jesus.
there's another one, like about 15 miles from that one, and then the end. So I wasn't going to worry about the weather, but there was, it's really hard, isn't it? Do you ever find that thing, you know, when you have a race and then you're a member of the Facebook group or whatever, so you don't miss updates, but then
Yeah.
fucking people start going in there and
Oh.
fitting you up. And you
Yeah.
don't, and you're like,
Yeah.
no, I'm not, I refuse to get shitted up, but you are getting shitted up. And I was getting a bit shitted up. But my friend Kirsty was doing the, our friend of the pod, Kirsty was doing the Northern Traverse.
Yeah.
So we stayed together in this little Airbnb and it was all in this little pub and it was all really nice. Everything was great. I just was worried about the weight of that fucking bag. Because remember,
Yeah.
30 miles, I've got to carry all my own food and 2 liters of water because I drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, I probably could have carried a liter and filled it up from the tarns because they're clean, but I
Yeah.
didn't.
No.
Anyway, it was fine. The weather was
Yeah.
absolutely fine.
Yeah.
The first, we started at 7:30 in the morning. It was blowy, probably 30 mile an hour, and it goes out, it goes up from St. Bees along the coast. It was a bit like the Arc of Attrition. Some big, nice big hills, rolling loveliness, except the mud on the hills was a joke, as it is everywhere. It
God.
was wetted out. It was slidey. And you know those hills on a camber that's slide, so you're kind of sliding
Oh,
sideways
and you
towards the
can't get your
cliff.
foot.
No.
You can't get your footing at all. Oh my
And people were
God.
just skidding everywhere and falling over. People were getting
Do you
adventure
fall over?
bums. No, I did not fall over once.
Well
You
done.
know
I'd have
why?
been on my ass so many times. Oh, hell, go on then. Tell us why.
Innovate mud talons.
There you
Ad sponsored. I did not fall over once. It was incredible. It's like wearing football boots,
That's
except they were
amazing.
very comfortable on the roads as well. So there was, but people were sliding, yeah, just like moving sideways down this hill.
Oh my
And
God.
it was, and then we turned right. And I did my friend, my client Robert, who I was with, he was like, can't wait to turn right because the wind was blowing you out to sea. So you knew the minute you turned right, it was going to be like a headwind, and it was.
Oh
And it's just, oh God, it's just relentless, isn't it? And it,
no. Yeah.
running into headwind is my worst thing, apart from
Yeah.
rain and running into headwind. And it was fine. I did the first 10 miles in about 2 hours, which is a bit quick.
That
But
is
I was like, well,
quick.
I've got a nice bit under my belt now.
Yeah.
And then we hit Annadale Water, and that's when everything just went. Meh.
Oh
Well,
dear.
not it went, it was still going really well, but it was just like big rocks covered in
Oh
everything was
no.
soaked. Everything was just, there
Yeah.
was rivers where there shouldn't be rivers. All the rocks were wet. All the rocks were slippery, which we would, it's like, that's the end. Have you ever been to Ennerdale Water?
Don't think I have, no.
The path around the outside of it is just like a coast path. So up and down like
Oh,
that, and then big
yeah.
rocks and then sand. It's really nice to run along if you're into that like technical terrain. Not so great if that path is a river, which it was.
No. Oh, God.
So about 17 and about 17 miles in, the leaders of the Northern Traverse came through. So they started an hour after us.
Oh, my God. Mark Derbyshire.
Mark Derbyshire, Dave
Yeah.
Phillips,
Yeah.
Ian Keith,
Dave Benson Phillips.
Dave Benson Phillips.
Do you remember Dave Benson
Yeah, Pat Sharp.
Phillips?
Who's the guy from Ready Steady Cook? Chef, everyone
Ainsley
knows.
Harriet.
Ainsley Harriet.
Jamie
Mark
Theakston.
Derbyshire, Jamie Theakston, Ainsley Harriet, Dave Benson Phillips, Sharp, and a young Philip Schofield came flying. You know what? I was about to say Mark Derbyshire looks a bit like Philip Schofield, but he doesn't. He's just got the same grey hair.
Can't really say that anyway, can we?
No.
No. Anyway,
Anyway,
so yeah,
so
Mark
I
Derbyshire came
basically
flying through.
turned round, and there they were. And it was like, you know, during that spine peloton, it was a bit like that.
Oh
And I
my
was just opened the
God.
gates and I was like, all right, lads, high five the balls. They went through, kept the gate up,
Wow.
and off they went. It was like they were floating, like ethereal
It's
beings. And it was,
just something else, isn't it? Like seeing people who are like that elite at that at sport, at our sport. Like just, you know, it's like watching, you know, when you go to road races and you see the front runners. I saw something today. This is amazing. If a 4-hour marathoner started a race, a marathon, at the same time as one of the elites that does it in like just over 2 hours. The elite would finish and have time to watch all of Shrek and half of Shrek 2 by the time the regular marathon had finished. If a regular marathoner started London Marathon, topical, and the elite started London Marathon, but had to start in Switzerland, get on a plane, and then get a taxi to the start line, the elite marathoner would still beat the regular marathoner because it's like a 1 hour 30 flight from Switzerland.
What's a regular marathoner time then?
Like just over 4 hours. The average, something like the average marathon time is about 4 hours 15 or something.
Is it? I thought it was five.
No. Well, I think it depends. Anyway, I think it depends, men
Just a
and
little reminder for everybody here. At the Arc of Attrition this year, Mark Derbyshire finished in 18 hours. It took
women.
me 32 hours. So it took me twice as long,
Yeah.
basically, as him to
Yeah.
finish.
So he's basically the Kipchoge of 100
Yeah,
milers.
he's had a whole day to live his life. I've just still been doing the same thing.
He'd have watched every single Disney movie
He's watched
like
all of
back
Shrek.
to
He's watched every Shrek, and he's watched all of the Fast and the Furious series as well. And he's up to
back.
date on maths and Josh Must Win because he has time to do that, and I don't. Anyway, but the funny thing was, there's some people that should be in that peloton, right? That you're like, yeah, tick, tick, tick. There's some
Yeah.
people that are like, what the fuck are you doing in that peloton?
Oh dear. As in, you've started too quick.
Yeah. No names mentioned. I'm not going to mention any names, but
No,
there
no,
was one
no.
person in that group, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing with these dudes? And he had the look on his face of, what the fuck am I doing with these dudes?
Oh
And I was like, that's interesting. We'll see how that pans out for you. Because I'd been
dear.
running for 3 hours and 18 minutes at this point, and I'd done 17 miles. Quite pleased with myself. They'd be running for 2 hours at 17 minutes, and they'd done 17 miles.
Oh my God.
Anyway, off they go. So you come off Ennerdale, and then that's when the hills really start. So you're
Yeah.
running towards like this big blockade of literally you're running towards a wall of hills.
You're going
And you,
towards Patterdale at this point, or is
you're
it
yeah,
Swaybird you're
Patterdale's quite a
talking
long way off. So you've got
about? All
there
right.
aren't actually any named hills. There aren't in any way
No.
much. You don't go over any.
You kind of skirt round them, don't you?
You
You go up, but.
go over, but you don't summit. It's
No.
really annoying for your summit plan.
Yeah.
Super
Yeah.
annoying.
Yeah.
There's three massively steep climbs. There's 13,000 foot of vert in it, and they're wrigglers. They're real little wrigglers. So at this point, I'm like, right, see you later, Robert. Headphones in. This is what I've done my hill training for. I am going to crack a lack on, and I did, and I felt great, and I
Yeah.
was eating well, and I was having a nice time,
Good.
and listening to some tunes. And there's this from Ennerdale. There's this like really nice runnable trail, like Swiss mountain trail. They've actually been
Oh.
rewild. They've been rewilding Ennerdale for a while. And it's like being in Canada or Switzerland. Last time I was there, it was snowing, so it looked like you were in the Alps. It was beautiful,
Oh,
and they've got these beautiful, big, clear rivers that run through that you completely see through, like glacial rivers. Honestly, I'm not making it up. It wasn't early enough for me to hallucinate. And Robert said to me, "Yeah, there's beavers. They put beavers in." And I'm like, "Oh, shut up," because this is the same Robert that's like, "Oh yeah, there's a big cat on Bodmin Moor," or, "Oh, there's tiny little men that live in the bogs on the Pennine Way." And I'm like, "Shut up, Robert." Like,
yeah.
and he's like, "No, there is." And I'm like, I was like, "Do you know what pisses me off about you? I know you're my client, but stop telling me shit, because I then go and tell other people and it's not true. So stop telling me that." So I'm running up the road, the fire track, and then I bump
Yeah.
into Tim Laney, who's like a mate of mine.
Thought you were going to say, then I bumped into
Beavers, a small family of beavers on a picnic. And
beavers.
Tim's like, "All right, Ali," and I'm like, "All right, Tim." And we're running along. He's like, "They've just rewilded this place, actually." And I'm like, "Yeah, my friend was just telling me." He's like, "Yeah, they've brought beavers in." "Oh, they have brought beavers in."
There
So
are
apparently
beavers.
there's some beavers up there. Didn't see
Oh.
any. I continued to beaver away
Hey.
at the route. And at this point, I started to pass people and I was like, "This is good stuff. I'm having a nice time, having a lovely time." And then I sort of thought, what's that behind me? It's Hannah Rickman.
Hey, well done, Hannah.
So
Brilliant.
we're 21 miles in, and
Yeah.
Hannah Rickman, who's on the Northern Traverse, has overtaken me.
Incredible.
And she's like, "All right." And I'm like, "All right." She's like, "How you doing?" I'm like, "Fine." She sort of slowed down to a slight jog to have a chat with me, and then she
Oh,
accelerated off. And I was like,
wow.
oh my God, effortless.
What a
And she has this
woman.
like bouncy run where she just looks like she's having a really good time.
Yeah,
And her
yeah.
pack's really tight. It doesn't look like it's swinging. She just
I
looks
bet she
like
was
a.
having a lovely time.
Oh, she was.
Yeah.
And as she went up the hill, I saw her just whip her poles out and like pole march up the hill. And I was like, do you know what? I've been carrying these poles now for 4 hours. I might take mine out. So thanks for that, Hannah, because I took my poles out and otherwise I wouldn't have used them and I probably would have added like another 3 hours to my time. Anyway, off she went into the distance and that was it. And I didn't have another female go past me for at least 2 hours. It was incredible. I
Wow.
was like, this is it now. They'll start to come through, but they didn't. Did that
Yeah.
first climb. The problem is once you got into Ennerdale, so you get to the bottom of Blacksell Pass and you go up and you don't go right into Blacksell Pass, you go left towards Passerdale and
Yeah.
Grasmere actually first. And just the climbs are just fucking ridiculous. We all know what the Lake District is like, but it was really hard and they were very, very wet and they're redoing the paths up there. And it was so windy. But it wasn't too bad. Just really, really, really windy, like blowing you downhill. And I was really glad I had my poles. Got to the top, flew off the top, like took out loads of people on the top because I'm good at technical downhill. And then straight down to Honister Pass, and again a nice bit of runnable. And then you're in the valley, so there's much less wind. Really, I can't
Yeah,
explain to you how
nice.
wet it was though. It was ankle deep water the whole time. Like, you know,
Jesus
there's paths that are just
Christ.
streams, the paths are
Yeah.
streams.
My feet would have been in bits. I know he's sex lube. Sex lube, sex lube, sex lube. No blisters for you?
No, not one.
No.
Thanks, Innovate. I used Sex Lube, I used Innovate Trail Fly Ultra Socks, and I used those mud talons and
Yeah.
in a size half size bigger
Yeah.
to allow for a little bit of foot movement around.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got down Hollister Path. It was great because I was actually starting to catch up with some of the elite men
Wow.
and so I could chat to them. Not that they fucking wanted to chat to me, but I was kind of using them as pacers. And like, if they're running this speed downhill, I'm going to try and keep up with them. Because the thing about running downhill is about fear, isn't it? It's about fear of falling over.
Yes,
So I was
so
like, if I
much.
can, like, so I did keep up with them and I did have some good chats with them. And then we got into, what is it? What's the first one? Borrowdale is the first. Went past
Yeah.
Borrowdale. And yeah, Borrowdale aid station is the first one. 30 miles. Lovely. Everyone's happy.
Good food.
The aid stations were incredible.
Good food.
Oh my God. You name a food and it was in there.
Biscoff.
Yeah, loads of Biscoff. They're
Was
vegan.
that?
Shane, he's a race director, is vegan, isn't he? It's because he's fucking Biscoff.
Brilliant.
There was pizza, vegan sausage rolls, normal sausage rolls, mushroom soup. The mushroom soup was so nice. There was cheese sandwiches, cheese and pickle. There was salad. There was hummus. There was egg mayonnaise. There were little sweeties. There was rice pudding. There
Oh
was,
my
oh,
God.
it was coffee, tea, amazing, just so good.
Oh, I'm
Incredible
starving
aid
now.
station. Yeah, so good.
That sounds great.
And also, really lovely people in there, beautiful volunteers, really, really kind. And a couple of
Oh.
people I knew. And then James Elson came in as I was eating my mushroom soup.
Was he
And
running?
yeah, he was having, he was on the traverse, the big traverse, the northern traverse.
The big boy traverse.
Yeah. And yeah, just saw loads of nice people. Probably spent 10 minutes in there because I was eating properly, filling water up and stuff. Had four cheese and pickle sandwiches, sliced
Well,
pizza,
it was
vegan sausage roll.
your first aid station, wasn't it?
It was my
First
lunch.
aid station.
Yeah, it was my
Yeah.
lunch. It was 2 o'clock in the
30
afternoon.
miles in, 30 miles in.
Yeah. And I was thinking, do you know what? This is actually great. Like, I reckon I could probably push for a 15-hour finish on this. But then I was like, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be like testing fuel. You're supposed to stop moving the goalposts. And I think this is a really important thing to say. Like, you need to keep going back to your signpost of what you're supposed to be doing. Because
Yeah.
if you start moving the goalposts halfway through, you're gonna make it miserable. And also, you're not gonna
Yeah.
concentrate on what you've actually wanted to get out of it. And what I wanted to get out of it was, how is my fueling? How fit am I feeling? I don't want to feel like I'm dead at the end of it because I've got the spine in June, and I want to be able to feel like I could maybe go on and do more. Like, that's
Yeah.
what I want to know where my limit is. Like, I want to know. I don't want to feel sick. I don't want to shit myself. I don't want to any of that.
Yeah.
I was like, no, behave yourself. So I left the aid station, drank my mushroom soup. God, the soup was so nice. And then that fucking climb out of Borrowdale up
Borrowdale.
towards Grasmere is
Yeah.
horrific. It goes on for ages. There's a rock
Yeah.
there that's got a plaque on it where someone died under the rock. I
my
mean,
God.
no one wants to see that with a girl up a hill, do they?
No. Oh, gosh. That's
Yeah.
awful.
Gordon Huntingdon passed away under this rock.
Oh,
Lovely.
Gordon. Jesus.
It is
Rest in peace.
beautiful, a beautiful ascent, but it is really intense because it's massive rocks, boulders, streams, water. It's unrunnable. And you've just got to really power hike it as fast as you possibly can. Really, really steep. But also the worst part of the course for scrambling. You've got to scramble. So you get to like the top, and then you have to scramble for probably half a kilometer to get to this top. When you get to the top, you are exposed
Shit.
at 360 degrees.
Yeah.
And the wind was horrific at this point. This is when people started to fall over in front of
Gosh.
me. People were starting to be blown off their feet and were starting to stand with their poles. And it was just like that, like noise, that like
Yeah.
intense, like hurricane noise. It was about 3 o'clock and it was starting to like, that's when we knew that it was coming in.
Yeah.
And there'd been chat of a diversion on the next section. And I was just like, please let that diversion be in place because I've been up Kidsty Pike. And it is a ridge and it's really, really exposed. And I'll be going up in the dark. So I was like, eh, eh. But then I was like, don't think about that. Be in the moment you're in, the moment where you're being blown off the top of this ridge. It was coming off that ridge that you come off the back of that and you go down and you go past Grisdale Tarn. Grisdale Tarn is a beautiful tarn and it's low and it's always flat. It's like glass. It's beautiful. You've probably seen photos of it.
Yeah, I've been past it, I think.
It's like glass.
Yeah.
But
Not on Saturday, it
today,
wasn't.
it was like the sea. It had massive
Stop
waves, and the
it.
waves were
Wow.
being whipped up. So, like sea mist, so you were getting soaked. It was like it was raining, but you weren't. It was just the water coming off the tarn. I've never seen anything like it.
Shit.
It was really scary. And I bumped into Tim again, Tim Laney. Now, Tim is someone I know from, he's the person that helped me get, oh, first time I went over Clwyd Goch. Tim helped me get over it. He works sometimes as a mountain helpy leader type person, and he's really
Yeah.
kind, really sweet. He's actually friends with Damien. He's just really calm and nice. He's on Dragon's Back. He's really experienced in the mountains.
Yeah.
As I was coming off that hill down towards Grasmere, I was lifted up by the wind like a cartoon character and dropped on the floor. And I was dropped on the floor. I literally went up in the air and I was like, "Fuck!" And I put my poles down and dropped onto the floor. I just sat down because I was like, "I'm sitting down." Because I'm gonna fly. And I sat down and I looked
Yeah.
behind me and there's this girl behind me. She was sat down too. And I was like, hello. She was like, hello. And I was like, are you sat down because of the wind? She went, yeah, I don't really have a choice. And we just sat there and we were like, should we try and get up? And so I got up, I had my poles, but it was like, if
Oh
I
my
fall over
God.
that, I'm just gonna roll down the rocky. It was just fucking scary.
Shit.
Tim came past and I'm like, he's like, I literally looked at him and just went, fuck that shit. And he went, yeah, that wasn't great, was it? He was like, it wasn't very enjoyable. And I was like, were you scared? And he went, I was a bit, yeah. And I'm
Oh
like,
my
oh,
God.
good. Tim's scared.
Oh
We all should be scared.
no.
Anywho, what could you do?
Sheesh.
What are we going to do?
Well,
I can't call out
at
to
that
rescue. The
point,
helicopter's not going to come.
you've got to get yourself down.
Mind, we're only 40 miles in.
Oh God.
So everybody coming off that hill was a little bit shocked. It hadn't started raining yet. It was about, by now it's about 4:30, 5 o'clock maybe.
Yeah.
Got
Yeah.
into Grasmere and was like, now there's another fucking hill. And it's not, they're not hills, they're mountains.
Yeah.
So
The mountains.
straight through Grasmere, didn't even go past Grasmere Gingerbread. You don't even go to town. Straight up the next hill, which is
Oh, do you not?
horrendous. Nope. Straight up the next hill, which is
The
horrendous.
that hill is the one that skirts around. You basically get up to, if you went right, you'd end up on High Street.
Yeah, that's the one. I think.
Yeah. Nice. You go, yeah, you yeah, maybe.
So
Haven't got my map.
you
Anyway,
know where the
yeah.
three actually so have I, it's right in front of me. Should I just get it up? So I don't get it wrong. So I don't get anyone saying to me, wait, I think you're fine, Ali. Can you hear me still?
Yeah, I think I've got that wrong actually, because that's the one
I'm
that
just
comes.
destroying my house.
You start the ascent for that one from actual Patterdale, because then you go up round the knot
Yeah,
and
no, you don't do
over.
that. We're getting this
No.
wrong. We're getting this wrong. Right. So, hello, everybody. This is where I am here. The Traveller's Rest. Beautiful. So, you come down through Grasmere. Yeah, that's the one. Busy road. Right, then you go up Tungil. Oh, you come off, then you come off Grisdale Tarn, then Grisdale Tarn's there. Okay, so I got that the wrong way around. So Grisdale Tarn was actually after the ascent from Grasmere. So
Right.
you come up Tungil Force, and then you come over the top of Gavel Crag. You get over the top of that, and then to the right is Fairfield and Hart Crag and Hartsock Dodd. And then to the left is Seat Sandal and Steel Fell and Gibson Knot. So you're going straight down the middle of them, right? That's where Grisdale was. So the descent before into Grasmere, that was the one where I fell over. And then it was after we came over the one past Grasmere that the tarn was like blowing this absolute fucking gale force wind, and like there was waves and all that sort of stuff. Okay. But then I was like, right, after this, there is only one more hill. And that hill is the Bastard Hill that goes over Kidsley Pike, right? Kidsley Pike is the highest point of the course for both the Northern Traverse and for the Lakes Traverse. So the problem with the Northern Traverse is it's front loaded. So the first 100K is horrendous vert. And then after that, it gets a bit better, but you're knackered, basically. So Ping Down, that's the last support point for the Lakes Traverse. And I'd kind of forgotten about them saying that they might put a diversion in, and it was starting to get dark. And the minute we got to the tent at Passerdale, the heavens just opened and it just started pouring with rain. And as I came into that tent, a man came up to me and he said, "Congratulations on reaching Passerdale. You're now on diversion." And I just went, "Thank fuck." And I was like, "Come cuddle." And I gave him a massive cuddle and I was like, "I'm so happy." And I got into the tent and there was all these girls that I'd been like running with and not sort of passing, and they'd been passing me, and we were like hugging each other. Just like, oh my God, so relieved. And
Oh, God.
it wasn't because we were like, it doesn't make it easier. The diversion doesn't make it easier, but it doesn't, you
No.
don't go over Kidsley Pike, and it was
You're
too.
not going over a like a ridge in 75 mile an hour winds.
No, you're not. And it's 780 meters, because like, so it's not to be fucked about with.
It.
And but I hadn't looked at the diversion. I got it on my watch. I thought I had anyway, but I did.
Right.
But I hadn't looked at it, and I thought, oh, it'll be road. I just thought, oh, diversion's road. That's what I just literally put the word diversion and road together. Turns out not so much.
No.
When we left, I got changed. So
Did you put your
here's
pajamas
something.
on?
Yep, here's something that might help people. On the hill, I did a Stuart Smith special. So I started
Okay.
in leggings because I was like, there's no point in wearing shorts, because if there's moisture in the air, you're going to end up getting cold, and you're going to end up having to put your leggings on anyway, and you have to carry them. So I started in leggings. All leggings. I wore a very thin base layer, a nice wicking base layer, an Innovate one. All of this is Innovate. I wore the performance hybrid jacket, and that was it. And I had my windproof in my bag. And I started in my windproof, then took it off because I think a windproof is the single greatest bit of kit any British ultra runner can have at this time of year.
Unreal.
So good, because your waterproof, if you wear it for the wrong reasons, will run out. You've only got a certain amount of wears in a waterproof, and so a windproof is so flexible and so light. So that's what I was wearing all day. When it got super windy, I put on my big boy coat. Now, I like Innovate know this. They are developing a new coat, a coat that will withstand really big amounts of rain. I usually wear the storm shell, and that's absolutely fine. But when it comes to like big amounts of rain and getting wet through, I have a heavier coat.
Prolonged rain,
Yeah. I have a heavier coat from a different brand that rhymes with Fontaine. Put that on because I was getting soaked with the tarns. When I got down to Passerdale, I was like, I'm going to get changed. I wasn't wet. I wasn't like wet.
Good.
I hadn't wet through, but
No.
my base layer was wet from sweating because I've been wearing it for now for like what, 10 hours? So I put on a merino base layer. I just took everything off, put the merino base layer on. Oh my God, it was so nice. Then put all the stuff I've been wearing back on. So the performance hybrid, then the windproof, then the big boy coat, and then my waterproof trousers. And I was out for another 4 hours. I didn't wet through. I didn't. I
Wow.
was so warm and comfortable the
That's
whole
so
time,
great.
even in like that storm. So what had happened was, the reason that they diverted people was because there were two weather fronts. There was supposed to be one weather front, but there were two, and they were coming, and they were going to smash into each other above the Lake District.
Oh
Both
my
had rain
God.
in and both had wind in. So they were like, we're not sure what time that's going to happen, but it is going to happen here. And if we put you onto Kidsey Pike and it happens up there, then there's a real high chance something will go very badly wrong. So from 5:30, they'd let everybody that had gone through before 5:30 up because they'll come off it in the light, but nobody was allowed up there in the dark. And this is Shane Oley we're talking about. He's the race director at Dragon's Back. He doesn't cancel things, he doesn't stop things, he doesn't reroute things. So he was like, he came into the tent, and I was like, Shane, just want to tell you that I love you for doing this. And this girl was like, I thought I was gonna have a panic attack up there. And Shane just went, I've been thinking I might have a panic attack for the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I know it's such a hard decision for race directors, isn't it? Because I mean, there was a race at Sherwood Pines that got cancelled like on the Thursday or something because the landowners said, no, you're not having a race in here because of the trees.
Really?
Yeah.
That is
So,
bad.
yeah. And so, race directors don't want to cancel their races. They've been, planning them for a whole year. So, but obviously safety first. So yeah, the best thing to do on your instance was to divert you, not via the road. Not by the road though, Ali, no.
No, and didn't take
No.
out any vert, which was quite
No.
irritating. So we went. I was like, "Oh, fine." I imagined coming out of Pasadena, just running along the road
No.
to fucking chat. Nope.
Yeah,
You had to still go up Angleton Pike. So
brilliant.
the route, the normal route is going up to Angleton Pike, up to the Knot, Kidsley Pike, down to Haweswater, and then it runs all the way along the bottom of Haweswater, which I was actually really looking forward to because the bit along the bottom of Haweswater, the last 8 miles, is relatively flat. And I was like, and sheltered. So I was like, let's fucking rock. And I've been like saving a little bit of energy for that. That wasn't gonna happen. I didn't know where we were going. I did not know where we were going, which makes it more difficult when you've not recce'd it, because I'd recce'd everything else. We got to Angleton Pike, and then I don't know where we went after that, but we came off and it was pitch black. It was absolutely hammering it down and didn't stop. It was very, very windy. I was wearing a, I've got a Fenix head torch, a Fenix HDR 65 V2, I think. It's incredible. It was like a lighthouse, but because of the rain, even on full setting, it made things really, really difficult.
Oh, because you can't see anything, can you, when the rain's coming down that
You need
hard?
goggles, like, because you can't put a visor on, really, because the light then is doesn't dip. So you're like looking, you're just trying to see, you're trying to run, you're trying to keep dry, you're trying to eat, you're trying to get, you're trying to maintain yourself. You've already been out 50 miles, and you're like, if I walk, I'm just gonna get colder and wetter, and so I don't want to fucking walk. So that route, from what I can remember, involves sliding on your ass down banks, like skidding through like big boggy awful bits. Then all of the track was like BMX track, so it was rocky, muddy, horrible horror.
Turned
There
up.
was this big flat bit at I don't know where it was, but it felt like it was on a moor, and it was so exposed, and the wind was whooshing across it, and everyone just
Oh
had
my
their heads
God.
down, their poles out, was just plowing forward. Eddie
God.
Sutton came past me at one point, like just like fucking hell. She was on the main one, and it was awful. And then you hit the road, and you had 4 miles of road, right? Before you turned off the road to go into chat. Now I've bumped it back into Robert, my client, and I was like, and we'd recce'd their last bit together. And I'm like, look, at least we're not gonna have to do those shitty fields into chat because we're on diversion, right?
No, wrong.
Wrong. So we got to this fork in the road, and it was like there was a sign that said "Shap that way, somewhere else that way." And I'm like, it's got to be this way, like through the pissing rain. He's like, no, it's not, it's this way. Oh. So we went the other way. And then we got to this sign that just said coast to coast route that we recognized from the recce. And it was a sign just before the 2 miles of terror on the fields, where the fields were like really waterlogged. Anywho, I can't explain to you how waterlogged the fields were, people. I'm sure you
You can't
understand
run
this.
it. You
It's
can't run it.
shin deep. It's like paddy
There's
fields of
just
rice.
so much water everywhere. I feel like that's the only thing we're going to be able to grow in the UK is rice in paddy fields.
It
Like,
was
there's so
so
much.
shit. And you just want to fucking finish. And it's so raining so hard. And I'm really glad that Robert was there, because at least we could maintain a little bit of humor. But I was like, this is bullshit, because I know I can do this quicker. This is fucking bullshit. It kept stopping raining and starting and stopping and starting. Then it got to one field, went through it. There were tadpoles in the field around my feet.
What?
tadpoles.
serious? Were
Yes.
you
And I was like,
hallucinating at this
no.
point?
I was like taking videos of them. I was like, there's tadpoles in here. This has been so waterlogged, this field, for so long.
So
There are
long.
tadpoles in it. They've hatched.
Oh my God.
There was a
That's
stile that we couldn't get over
mad.
because it's too high. I remember on the recce being like, this isn't a stile for people. This is a stile for giraffes. These dogs couldn't get over it. And then we popped out on the road. I'm like, we're here. And as we turned around to go into Shap, the final insult, it was apocalyptic. It was like it was a wind tunnel coming at us. It was like, so by the time we walked into the pool at Shap, 17 hours after we'd started, it was like we were just absolutely fucking soaked. And
My God.
they put the Northern Traverse people on one side of the hall, the Lakes Traverse people on the other side of the hall. So one side of the hall is full of merriment, cups of tea and like dry
We're
robes.
finished.
And the other side of the
Gyros.
hall is full of people questioning their life choices.
Oh my God. Do you have a bag at the end? You've like your stuff's at
I
the
had a
end as
little
well.
bag. You can have a bag that's got 5 kilograms of stuff in it. So the annoying thing is,
What?
So I'd left my car at the end because it's point to point, got a
Oh, fine.
lift from Shap to
St.
St.
B's.
B's, but then that night I couldn't have all of my, I had to be dressed in my running kit to go to sleep because I couldn't have anything. The bag had to be 5 kg. So it's like I can't take an overnight bag to give them to take to the end because that's more than 5 kg. So
Was it not
like,
in your car?
no, I left stuff in my car, but that night I spent at St. B's, I had to sleep in
Oh,
my
I
running kit and
see.
like be
The
ready
first
to
night, the
run
night before.
basically. Yeah.
I thought you meant the night after and you were still
No.
in your wet gear. I was like,
No,
what?
but
That's
I
ridiculous.
left a bag in my car, and then Robert had an Airbnb in Shap, and it had a sofa bed. So he's like, "Please stay here, don't drive home." I was like, "Okay, I'll get a couple of hours kip, and then I'll drive home." It was 3 o'clock in the morning by the time we got back to his house, to his little
Oh my
house, and I've
God.
been listening to a podcast called The Battersea Poltergeist. Right?
What?
Would you
Okay.
recommend?
No, this sounds
Why?
horrendous. I don't think we want to know about this. It's
No,
not the kind of
no,
podcast.
no, no, no. But I was laying in bed and I could just hear tapping. And I'm like, that's how it
Oh
starts.
my God.
That's how it
Oh, stop
starts.
it. Yeah, that's enough. I don't want to hear any
Yeah,
more. I
no.
want to hear no more. That's it.
I got 40 minutes sleep.
Jesus Christ. Oh no, I absolutely hate shit like that. What's that piece of wood? Oh,
It's
is that your wild horse
my
wood?
wild horse thing that I had to take down to get my maps now. It nearly hit me on the head. Nearly got killed by my own medal. Anyway, back to this. Also, can people stop recommending me podcasts about poltergeists now I've said that that's fucking me up? So I don't want to listen to them.
No. Stop listening to
So,
podcasts. Oh.
Mark Derbyshire, he got 100 and he got to the middle of the Yorkshire Dales, I think. And then he was like, I can't do this anymore. James Elson, out at Shap. Percy Reed, out at Richmond.
Yeah, saw
Like,
that.
these. This race claimed so many victims. Like I think the Lakes Traverse wasn't so bad because I think we knew that there was going to be an end to it.
Yeah,
But
the northern
after Shap to get to Richmond, you got 20 miles of those fields, boggy fields,
though.
and the rain was awful. It's hammering it all night and really windy.
Yeah.
There's still long nights. You still don't get light till 7, and it wasn't even light at 7 when I woke up. When I woke up from my on off sleep, it was 7 o'clock, but it was still dark because of the amount of cloud and rain.
Yeah. Ugh.
I just thought, how are these people doing this? And they would have been soaked through. And because it was such, it's such, even with the elites, such slow progress across the Dales because it's
Well,
so wet.
you can't move. Like, if you're shin deep in fields of water, can't move.
No. So, yeah, it claims some proper victims, people that I was like, they'll never stop. But
Harder than the Barclay this year.
harder than the Barclay, 100%. But anyway, well done Hannah Rickman for taking the win for the ladies on the Northern
Woo!
Traverse, and I think she was just ahead of course record, but I might be wrong. But the thing I like,
It was chasing her down for ages, and then I didn't quite see her when she'd finished, whether she'd just nipped in front of it or not.
yeah, I
I think
don't
she picked
know,
up. Don't know.
but did you see the photos of her at the end?
Yeah.
She was just fucking covered in shit, and I love that.
Absolutely covered in mud all over.
And
She
she
picked
was,
up a little pebble from St. B's and put it in the coast the other side as
that's what they
well.
have
I
to
love that.
do. Because
Oh, they
Kirsty's
have
still
to.
got her little pebble. She's like, little fucking pebble. And I'm like, take it on
Oh,
a year-long adventure and then pop it into the sea next year.
no. Oh, no.
She was wearing the same outfit I saw her in at the start. I've said to her, we need to do a Legends episode on this. I want to know what happened, because I don't think she got changed once, which is such a baller move.
Yeah.
She was...
Wasn't she wearing three-quarter length leggings as well?
Yeah. She was also wearing trail flies, the new Innovate trail flies, and she didn't take them off. Like, now, she... Like, she was so covered in shit that I'm like, did you even go to sleep? It was all down her arms. It was over her face. It was down her front. It was all over her leg. I'm like, what has happened?
She's been rolling around the hills for 2 days.
Oh, and Dave took the win for the blokes, which was really, really amazing. But the best thing about Hannah's win is that she also came second.
I know. Overall.
And she loves coming second, doesn't she? She's got so many second trophies in her house.
Oh, stop.
I was like, I don't think it's escaped my notice. You've also got second. Again. But she deserved that. She so deserved it. And when she came past, she just looked so strong. And she beat second lady by a day. So she was quite far in the lead. Anyway, it was a really, really good event. And I feel absolutely fine now. I feel slightly depressed and tired, because I always do after events. But
Well, that's
definitely
the thing,
recommend.
Though. I think a lot of people, this is probably quite something just to sort of touch upon, because this is like pure event season now. Every weekend there's something. Mm-hmm. So there'll be loads of people that are listening that have like either got their big race like coming up that they've trained all winter for, or they've just done it. And that like post-race blues of I think gets everyone, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Did you get everyone?
It's tiredness, isn't it? Like when you...
Yeah.
When the problem I have is it reminds me of being hungover. It's the same feeling. So when you have a hangover, it's because you're dehydrated and because you are tired, because you didn't sleep well. Yeah. And so when you have a hangover from running, it's because you're dehydrated and because you're tired.
Mm.
You just haven't added the extra poisoning of the alcohol. So it gives me like these bad flashbacks to like before. And that makes me... It's a bit triggery. But I didn't feel very well before I went in, to be honest. I didn't feel mentally well.
Right.
And I'm all right, but I'm very aware that I'm not 100% all right. But I think that like you say, you put in, it's so much work. Mm-hmm. Like, what a fucking load of work that is. It was a really hard race. And I've got a horrible habit, as I think we all know, of going, oh, well, if I can do it, it must be easy. But and even having to pass it by like Elson, and said to James, was that a hard race? He was like, this was a fucking hard race. I didn't finish it.
Yeah.
I'm like, and just appreciating that it's not just a normal training run. It's a fucking hard race in a fucking hard place. And the weather was difficult. Running into headwind, against wind, for every mile per hour of wind, apparently it's 1% more energy that you're using to go into it, to run into
it. I can well believe it. Yeah. Yeah.
And that, you know, if you look at the female finisher times on the 100K, your client Sam, who won, did she do? Like 13 hours, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
Nowhere near course records, because you couldn't. I think Mark's ahead of the male course record, Kim's record.
Yeah.
Dave just missed it. There wasn't the time to be setting course records because it's just too wet and windy. And that's what Shane said at the beginning. And it's annoying, but it is what it is. It is what it is. I'd love to go back and do it during a week. I'd love to go back and do it in an April where it hasn't been constant fucking rain for like 10 years.
I know. This rain, honestly, like we've put the rain and the weather in the bin so many times over the last like 6 months. It's just been relentless, and like everywhere is so wet. But I think that's another really good point, like a really good takeaway from these debriefs and stuff as well. It's like, you know, I've talked a lot with my clients who've got their races coming up about like controlling the controllables, and I'm sure you do as well, because weather is not something that we can control. There are things that we can do to mitigate it, and there are things that we can do to be prepared, and there are things, you know, like running in it, like training in it, not being afraid to like actually get out there and tackle it, you know, even with those like muddy conditions and stuff. Like, your training runs are going to be on the trails. You're going to be dealing with that wet, sloppy, slimy, slidey, horrible mud.
Mm-hmm.
You've practiced it in training. And yeah, you might be able to do 8-minute miles normally, but actually you're going to have to be like, well, I'm not going to be able to do that this time. I just need to get through it.
But even remembering that when it gets to the point where there's road, you still won't be able to drop your 8-minute miles, because you have been pulling your feet. You've been basically walking in cement. So the energy it's been taking to pull your legs out, it's completely different. And the other thing is, you've got to remember to keep eating more than you would normally eat because you're using more energy. I was hungry all the fucking time. And I've actually talked to Eddie Sutton at the end as she was in the shop having a vomit and rally and some. She had warm Coca-Cola tucked under her arms. Warm red ambulance.
I'm interested.
Me too. I was like, what are you doing? Anywho, she said, talked to me about, she was like, you should look at what you're eating in the days before the race, like super carb load, like because you need, and
You
I'm
have
like, I
to.
don't even think about that anymore. I just
Ah,
don't think about
interesting.
it. But
But
I'm
you
going to talk to,
should.
yeah, I know. I'm going to talk to Holly about it because I'm like, I was hungry the whole way through that race. The good thing is my stomach played ball and I didn't feel sick. And I was chewing
That's
on
good.
Belaforte chews all the time. Every 20 minutes, I was having two of them. And then I was having a proper meal at the aid stations. Both times I had proper meals. So that was a good thing. But you've got to remember, haven't you? It really is a totally different ball game. The weather, and like you say, you've got to control the controllables. But as you know, I was cursing myself for taking so much kit until it got to like 8 o'clock. And I was like, you did good. You did so good. Because now I've got all these layers and I can just, and I just, when I got changed in the shop, my merino layer at the bottom was dry. I was like,
So good.
where's Stuart Smith when you need him?
That's
To show
so
him.
good. That is so good. No, I did a post for our the physio practice that I work out of. We do like a Marathon Monday social media post in the lead up to all the marathons, spring marathons. So talk about fueling. Because again, that's something that some of my clients, when they've been going out on their long runs, they're like messaging me being like, it's too hard, my legs feel dead. I'm cramping, and I'm like, what did you have for breakfast? And they're like, oh, some biscuits and some coffee. And I'm like, well, what did you have for dinner last night? Oh, I got home really late, so I just had a bag of crisps or whatever. So even in your long runs, you need to make sure that you're fueling yourself properly the night before and the morning of. But for races, you need to start increasing your carb load 3 days out. So, and there's a rule of thumb that they say 1 to 2 grams of carbs per kilo of body weight. But basically, you don't want to start measuring out stuff and figuring out how many carbs are in it and all the rest of it. Basically, eat carb heavy meals, drop down the amount of proteins and the rest of it on your plate. But your plate should be a third to two thirds of carbs. In the 3 days leading up to the race, realistically, 2 days is okay.
Yeah,
But
I
you need to
mean,
think about that stuff in advance.
yeah, and also, you know, you think about we had to get up. I had to get up at 6 to get to the start line for 7:30, and that hotel's not going to give me my breakfast. The hotel did give us some breakfast, but it was shit. So I was like, I've got my morning fuel, I've got some oat milk, I've got some bagels, I've got like I bought a load of stuff. But also, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, so it is difficult, like
I know.
to go right now. You're going to have a massive fucking meal of food, like it's lit,
So
and I was.
eat it the night before then.
Well, I was trying, but I would have. I had whipped scampi and chips, and I had an apple crumble with ice cream and custard. And I've been eating all day, but it just wasn't enough. I'm just not eating enough at the moment, and I know that now, so that's fine. And there's going to be things that are added. The point of this was to see where I'm at, and I know where I'm at now. And I need to do another gym session a week, and I need to two gym sessions a week, and I need to get the threshold ones going, and I need to really like. Probably go back on Stairmaster a little bit and eat a fuck ton. But it was such a great race. Definitely would recommend it. And without wanting to sound like a prick, but it's not a beginner's race. It's a fucking hard race. It's an hour a race, so of course it is. But there is
I like the sound of the little baby ones,
the
though.
Dales Traverse is 55K and the Moors Traverse is 80K. So the Moors Traverse is across the North York Moors and the Dales Traverse is across the Yorkshire Dales.
That's nice. Does that go round Malham way?
The Dales? I don't know. Maybe, probably.
Is that the map? Is that the event map?
Yeah, it's quite good, this. There we go.
Okay,
What
good.
did you ask? The Dales.
Malham, yeah.
Dales goes through starts at Kirkby Stephen,
Yeah.
and then it goes through Keld, and it goes through Gunners Side, and then it goes through Reith, and it finishes at Richmond.
Oh, okay.
No.
No.
The Moors one looks great though, because it starts at Richmond and it finishes at Robin Hood's Bay.
Yeah, that's well nice.
Absolutely delightful.
Very good. Oh, well, I'll have to do one of the shorter ones, hopefully, maybe next year. Yeah,
It's not
could do.
buggy friendly, just so you know.
I could take her in a little carrier.
Papoose. Oh my God,
A
there were so
little
many good dogs.
papoose. Oh, were they good
There were so many good
dogs?
dogs. And it was great because
Oh.
oh my God, the other thing I want to say, right? There were so many incredible women in that race. The Lakes
Yes.
Traverse had a high number of female entrants.
Great.
I have never felt so like, this sounds really wank, but so seen in a
Yeah,
race.
I
There
get
were
it.
so many lovely women, and we were all talking to each other. There was no like competition.
No.
Even the people at the front, like, were just really, even the every all the women were just these incredible, kind, lovely, open, wonderful, inspiring human beings.
Yeah.
And it was just great. Like, everybody had a different superpower. So like, I'm not as quick uphill as I'd like to be, but there were two women in front of me. They were super quick uphill. And I was like, you bastards. And then I'd get to the top of the hill, go over, and then I would fly down the hill, and then they would catch me up again. And they'd be like, how the
Yeah.
fuck are you doing that? And I'm like, well, how the fuck are you doing that? And we
Yeah.
were having there was really great banter, really good camaraderie, and we kept like going past each other. There was probably like five or so, a
Awesome.
group of five or six of us. And I can't remember all of their names, but we had such a good laugh. And I
Oh.
just was like, this is such a nice environment to be in with like these. It just was so good. It was just
Yeah.
so really, really inspiring.
Yeah.
And I think I was most inspired by the women on the Northern, like Kirsty and Eddie and Hannah
Yeah.
especially, because Hannah just had a smile on her face the whole fucking time.
Oh, she always does. She loves it.
It
She
was
loves it.
incredible. It was great. Good work, everyone.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for that debrief, Ali. I think there's lots of lessons learned for other people as well who've probably got events coming up. So if that is you, good luck. Well done.
Is it London Marathon? Oh, before you go, quick podcast pet
Hi girlies. Right, podcast pet update. We are currently in week 24 of 30 and going relatively quite well. I'm a little bit knackered. It's been a very long training plan with a lot of things booked in between, a lot of races, but doing well. Obviously, we had my 50-miler attempt 2 weeks ago. We all know how it went. But the comeback has been very positive. Getting back to it, I was in the gym the next day. That's all going really, really well. I'm really enjoying my sessions at the minute. Long may it continue. I'm very aware that the event is in 6.5 weeks, and in those 6.5 weeks, I got obviously London Marathon, a mini break in Copenhagen for another marathon, and a few recce days booked in. So it's all coming to an end. Sort of the meaty end of the tail. But we're getting there. So it's taper week this week before London. And yeah, going really, really well. I'm really grateful for all the support. It's been such a wonderful experience, all of this, and long may it continue. So thank you so much again to everybody, especially you two. And yes, yeah, so London Marathon's next.
So Dean's got an event coming up soon. It's the London to Brighton.
It is the London to Brighton. He's got ages yet. I
Six
think
weeks.
he's
He's got 6 weeks.
yeah, that's ages.
No, it's not. You're in baby denial. 6 weeks, ages. No, it's not.
It
We will
is.
be putting in some information about cheer points in the Facebook group. Okay, so I will direct you to the Facebook group, but there are some cheer points. Now, if you want to come along, then there will be a couple of cheer people. I'll be one of them, and there'll be another one that you can get in contact with, listener, to arrange to meet up with us and come and cheer him on. And can you, if you are planning on doing it, just make sure you buy a supporter's car park pass. It's like £5. It means that you can just park nearer the cheer points. Otherwise, you won't be allowed anywhere near the course. It's a bit cheeky, but it also gets you parking at the end. So we will start to rally the troops and get people together to support Dean on his epic 100K, which is 6 weeks away.
Amazing.
Maybe 5 weeks when this comes out. No, 6 weeks. I don't know.
No, this
Anyway.
is coming out on Saturday.
Yeah. And if you've got an event, then let us know on Instagram. Tag us.
Yes. Indeed. Indeed. So all the info about the car parking passes and stuff, that's going to be in the Facebook group, right?
Yep. It'll all be in the Facebook group.
Perfect. Perfect. What are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to Wales to Brecon Beacons to do a Pegasus workshop to run with my dog in the Brecon Beacons again. Again. What I'm doing, what are you doing this weekend?
Well, I'm still running.
Oh,
I'm
good. Are you
still
still running? That's
running. Yes,
great.
I am. So I'm 29 weeks pregnant. I'll be 30 weeks soon. in a couple of days, and I'm still running. And I got my University of Northampton park run in the bag last week, so I got a little U. This weekend I will be getting my O, and that means for my park run alphabet, I think I'll be on like 23 out of 25. Eep. So
Well
that's
done. I
good,
thought
isn't
there
it?
were 26 letters in the alphabet.
There are, but there are no park runs beginning with X anywhere in the world.
What?
Yeah.
Why
You'd
doesn't
think someone
someone
would have
just make
started one by
one?
now. Yeah, I know.
Excalibur, the hardest park run in the world.
Spelt with an E.
Yeah, but just with put it with an X. Like exhibit. Or
Like, X gonna give it
well,
to
I know what you
you.
could do. You could do a
Exhibit.
naked one and have XXX. Like six of them.
That all, yeah, I was going to say that sounds like somewhere in Amsterdam, like Red
Yeah.
Light
That's weird,
District.
isn't it? That they haven't there isn't there isn't one beginning with X. I'm sure that there should be by now.
Yeah, but
Xanadu Park Run.
parkrun actually in the last week basically like not banned tourism and alphabet chasing, but basically came out and said that they don't like it. So I'm going to
Why?
continue doing it. It's bad for the environment.
So it's printing loads of really cheap shit merchandise and trying to sell it to people. Park Run.
No,
Comments? Thoughts on that?
I don't have any parkrun merchandise, especially not the parkrun dry rope.
I'm just asking Parkrun if they've got any comments on the shit fucking merch that they create.
Interesting. Be interesting to hear. So yeah, so I will be running my little 5K again this weekend. And then also good luck to everyone who's doing Manchester Marathon this weekend, because that's on Sunday.
Oh, is it? And
Yeah.
there's London next weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
God, there's just so many. I don't have anything until the spine now. I feel like I should put some again. I feel like I'm missing out.
When's the spine?
June.
The
18th or 16th or 16th, 17th, 18th, something like that, isn't
18th, yeah, around
it?
then. 17th, 18th, 19th-ish. Great. Okay, brill.
Okay.
Well, I love you.
I love you
Thanks for that
too.
debrief.
That's all right. We will be back to normal next week, listeners, when I believe that we will have to go through people's Keith Dunn Barclay marathon names because I've been crying laughing at the one on Instagram.
Oh my God, they're so good. Yeah, if you want to get yours in, go over to our Instagram at Ultrasound System Pod and tell us how Keith Dunn on Twitter would describe you if you were to run the Barclay. They are fucking brilliant.
Okay, we love you.
Love you, bye.